Here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. And now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts.
Well, hello, beautiful Sunday morning to you. I'm Reverend Tommy Mounts. It is good to be with you. I hope we have a ray of sunshine coming your way, something we can say, something we can do, a message or something that we can encourage you. And we're so glad that you've tuned our way, that we might sit together in these heavenly places. Well, let's get our broadcast started. Martha and I are going to do this one. It says, I'll meet you in the morning. Meet you in the morning. Martha does a great job on that song. I wish that she could still sing with me, but she can't. You got to continue to remember her in prayer, and then remember me also. I've been having a stomach virus all week long. Seemed like I've been tormented with that. So you remember me in your prayer. I appreciate you. I'm so glad you tuned my way this morning. I appreciate all the cards and letters I've received so far this month. I appreciate Ann and Carol Cole and Bobby and Alicia Coulter and James and Louise Ellison. I tell you, I just couldn't make it without these people. And I appreciate them. I love them, and I appreciate them. I appreciate that they have the confidence in me, that they have supported me throughout the years. So I appreciate all their help and all their support. Ernie and Betty Joe, my, how great they've been. Ed and Mary Jo Ballingy over there in Peterstown, I couldn't say enough about these people, how they've supported this broadcast and down through the years. We've got a lot of people that's done come and gone, but yet nevertheless, we're thankful for those who are still holding in there with us. So let's go right now, listen to this song, and I hope you enjoy this one also.
Without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley, Lord, I just couldn't walk this road alone. When I'm hungry, he feeds me. When I'm thirsty, he's my water. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, he's always there to listen. With arms folded about me, and he rocks me in his bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When my tears flow like a river, and my burdens are high as a mountain, and the one I've trusted has let me down, well, that's when I go to Jesus. He's the one that I can count on. I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? When I need someone to talk to, he's always there to listen. With arms folded about me, and he rocks me in his bosom. What would I do without Jesus, the shepherd of my valley? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do? I couldn't make it without Jesus. What would I do?
I want to send that up to Becky Lilly in memory of her son who passed away and the grief. We want to keep her in our prayers and appreciate her. And then Betty Spangler. I understand Betty's having a problem. So, Betty, we appreciate you and John. We haven't talked with you for quite a while, but hope that you're doing real good. And then Glenna Brown. I appreciate her. And then also Ruby Dixon. I appreciate her. And I appreciate the support that they have been given to this broadcast. And then Doris Neely. Let's remember her in our prayers. We're very sorry to hear that Ella Neely passed away, and I'm very sorry to hear about that. But I'll tell you, life is the shortest. We didn't come here to stay anyhow. They were just passing through. I know that one day you'll turn the radio on, and I'll probably be gone. But nevertheless, I'm ready to go. And that means more to me than anything. And I want you to continue to pray and continue to bombard heaven for everyone else. And remember, each other. The Bible said, pray ye one for another. Okay, let's go now and listen to this song. Thank God I'm free.
For so long I had searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and all my dreams. Opened by him, and now, praise the Lord, I am free. am set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgot the foolish child I used to be. For the glorious life, I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at last. I traded my shackles for the glorious life.
Blessing is to be free from sin. I believe the Bible teaches that. As the Bible said, the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. I had a person one time to tell me, said, well, you're a sinless perfection preacher. No, but I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's the message I've been preaching for many years, and it never gets too old to preach it. So I want to do a recitation here. I want to do this for a good friend down at the Vance store. John, I appreciate Brother Richmond so much. He's been a blessing to this ministry, so I'm going to do this one for him, and I hope he enjoys it. Daddy's Hands.
I remember Daddy's hands would fold slantly as he would pray. He'd reach out to hold me when sometime I was having a bad night in a nightmare. You could read the quiet story in the callous and the lines of his face. Years of work and worry had left their marks behind. I remember Daddy's hands, how they would hold my mother tight and patted my back for something that I did right. There are things I've forgotten that I loved about that man, and I'll always remember the love in Daddy's hands. Daddy's hands were soft and kind when I was crying. Daddy's hands were hard as steel when I'd done something wrong. Daddy's hands weren't always gentle, but I've come to understand there was always so much love in my daddy's hands. I remember Daddy's hands working sometimes till they bleed, sacrificing unselfishly just to keep all us youngins fed. If I could do things over and live my life again and never take for granted the love that was in my daddy's hands.
Yes, and that's Dan Arbogast playing the music in the background. And my brother Dan gone home to be with the Lord now. But he gave me that. He wrote that song for me. And it's called Jesus Forever. But I never could put no words with a song to it. So I have used it on several of my recitations. So I hope you enjoy that. Remember, always remember these people have gone on. I mean, if we look around, we got more on the other side than we got on this side. A lot of our friends are gone. I tell you, they're just leaving every day. But thank God we got a better place to go when we get over there. There'll be no more dying. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more crying, sorry. There won't be no Alzheimer's. Martha won't be in an Alzheimer's ward. She'll be whole, being made whole again. So I'm kind of proud of that. I'm sad that she's got Alzheimer's, but nevertheless, I know that she's got something better waiting for her. Well, let's do a message here on grace.
That you live with every day. It's evident every day. It's an everyday presence. It's something you've never been without, but maybe you've never really noticed it. And this morning we're going to take the word grace. We're going to take that word and dissect it. We're going to take it word for word. G, spell it with me. G-R-A-C-E. Do it again. G-R-A-C-E. I end the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, beginning to read in verse 12. For the word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is discerned of the thoughts of the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifested in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that you have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast the profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he did it without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in this time of need. Father, your word for your people honor it. And all the people said it, amen. This morning we want to talk about this word called grace. There was a revival came to town and many people went out. Back then they didn't care whether you were Methodist, Pentecostal, Baptist, or Pilgrim Holiness, or whatever you were, you went to revival. It wasn't the name over the door that mattered. They just went out to revival. When it came to community, the church would pack with many different denominations of people. A lot of seekers would come years ago, and it wasn't unusual to have a lot of center folk in the revivals. Today you don't find that. But anyhow, this man went. He had never accepted Christ as his Savior. But he went to revival along with everybody else. And while he was at the revival, the evangelist got up on Monday night and he said, tonight, folks, I want to speak on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I want to preach on the grace of God. Well, that was all well and good, but Tuesday night, the revival begins and the evangelist got up and said, well, tonight, I want to speak from John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Well, that was all right. But come Wednesday night, the evangelist stood up and said, tonight we're going to open the scriptures to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And my theme tonight is going to be the grace of God. Well, this old boy went down to the barber shop on a Thursday. The evangelist I've ever heard said, what's strange about him? Well, he's preached the same sermon every night. What is the sermon he's preaching? He said, he gets up and says, let's turn to John 3:16. For God so loved the world, and I want to take a theme of the grace of God. Well, he went that night, and sure enough, the evangelist got up, said, turn with me to John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And guess what? He preached again on the grace of God. Well, on a Friday night, the evangelist got up, took the text, the same old text. But that night, something charmed the heart of that boy. That night, God broke through that hard, stony heart. He got right down deep where that old boy was living. That old boy found his way to an altar of prayer and gave his life to Jesus Christ. Well, then come Saturday night, it's time to close the revival. The evangelist got up and said, well, folks, when I came to see somebody saved. And said, God, give us souls for our labor. And said, just to be honest with you, just don't know what to preach on tonight. Well, that old boy whose heart had been mellowed by God and touched by the Holy Spirit the night before, hollered out, preach on the grace of God. So I'm here to preach on the grace of God. I think it's something that has touched our life, something that has touched our heart, something that is always evident. And yet we have failed to really recognize the grace of God. The Star Spangled Banner says it. God shed His grace on thee. And God has shed His grace upon America. The Bible said we can now come boldly to the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy. And we can find grace to help in this great time of need. And if there ever was a time that we need to plead the blood of Jesus Christ, it's this day and time. If there ever was a time that God's grace needs to be recognizable, if there ever was a time when we as American people and foreign people would declare that God is and we are one nation under God, and in the beginning it was God, and in the end it will be God, because He said, I'm Alpha, I'm Omega, I'm the beginning and the end. You cannot separate God from His grace. You know what makes grace what it is? We use the word G. It's great because it belongs to God. God has shed His grace upon America all down through the times, back in the beginning of time, and that's what Bob is teaching on. And you miss a Wednesday night, you're going to miss something good. But in the beginning, right in the beginning of time, the Bible said that God looked upon the earth. He had made man, created man, in His own likeness and in His own image. Give him a nice home. Give him a nice family. Give him everything he needed so that he could live comfortable in this life. But he sinned against God. And the Bible said that the thoughts and the imaginations of men and women were nothing but evil all of the time. But God still showed His grace. What does the Bible say? To the Antediluvian time, when wickedness was throughout the nation, the Bible said there was one man. And what did he do? He found grace in the eyes of God. Why didn't Noah preach for 120 years? Why didn't God just destroy man? Why didn't God just come down and wipe off the face of the earth? No, it was because God shared His grace. God doesn't just go around destroying people because He can. Now, I know you and I probably would do a lot different if we were God. But God ain't like you and I. We become like God, but God ain't like us. He's different from you and I. He wanted Noah to tell him about God's grace. Noah preached it for 120 years. He told them about a loving God, a God that cared, a God that would save them. As a matter of fact, he said, that's why I'm building this boat. I'm going to build a boat big enough for everyone who wants to go with me can get aboard, and we can be in the safety of God and His protection. But folks, it's just like today. They didn't accept it. They turned their back upon the grace of God. They didn't allow the grace of God to come. You know what the grace of God is? The grace of God is a pardon. You've been in prison all your life. And there you are. You're sitting on death row. You know, that's the thing that changed my life when I was a young man. I had a prisoner. I had an ex-convict come to my house. And he knocked on the door. And I went to the door. And I said, yes, sir, can I help you? He had a little tract, and he said, I've come to witness to you about Jesus Christ. I said, yeah, I don't have time for that kind of hog war, son. I ain't got time for religion. I said, if you come back later when Mommy and Daddy's here and you could talk to them about it. Anyhow, he said, if you'll just give me 1 minute, just give me 1 minute. I said, no, but I don't want to hear that stuff. He said, if you'll just give me 1 minute to ask you one question, I'll assure you I'll leave. And you know what he said? He said, son, you're on prison. You're in prison. You're on death row. He said, the judge has done set your time of death. You know the exact moment, you know the exact second that you're going to die. But again, you're sitting on death row and the sentence has not been handed down. You do not know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to leave this world. But it's surely a fact you'll either leave it at an appointed time or you'll leave it at a non-appointed time. But you're going to die. I looked at that man, and that has stayed with me ever since then. I said, well, sir, I'd rather be there and not know the second, the moment that I was to die. He looked at me and he said, that's exactly where you are, young man. and turned away and left my door. And listen, that has followed me all down
through childhood. When I've traveled so far, by nightfall, just how weary I had grown. Father's arms would slip around me, and he'd gently say, "My child, we are going home. Going home, I'm going home. There is nothing to hold."
Our Father, we pray today for our unseen audience. We pray, God, that there be some soul there that is trying to make it home, trying to make it to the other side, Lord. And it's hard. The tribulations of this world and the sin in this world, and it's hard, God, to try to hold on. I know. I realize. I've been there. I know all about that. But, God, you're able. You said, "My grace is sufficient for all mankind." So, Lord, I pray today you use this broadcast, use this preacher's voice to reach out across the airway and reach into the heart and the mind of that one right now that's lost, Lord, and tell them, God, without you, they'll never make it to heaven. So, Lord, we thank you for this broadcast. We thank you for everyone who has supported and helped us maintain this broadcast and keep it coming every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock into the homes and the automobiles, the highways and the hedges, and compelling men and women to come in. Neighbor, that's our broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed everything we said and done. I hope that there's some soul today who is striving for that city. God, we realize there's a lot of lost people in this world, and I pray that they'll turn to you before it's everlasting too late. Thank you for your support on this broadcast. We've been here a long time, and I want you to pray for me. I have a stomach virus or something. It seems like I've been fighting something all week long. An old sick stomach or something. So you pray for me and lift my hands up. Pray for Martha. God bless her heart. I just can't tell you how sad it is when I go over there to see her. And I know it's hard on the boys. I want you to remember my family, and I will remember you, okay? Well, goodbye, be good, and may God bless you and yours. That truly is my humble prayer.
Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Mounts returns next week at this same time. It's Tommy's sincere desire that today's program has brought encouragement and blessing. Please take time just now to write and include a generous offering, as your giving makes it possible for Something to Believe In to continue on this and other stations. Today's broadcast and or music tapes by Tommy and Martha are available by request. Simply include your request along with your offering when writing to Reverend Tommy Mounts, HC80, Box 36, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.